This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق والمرسلين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Continuing with the 40 hadith of Al-Imam Al-Jalil Al-Allama Al-Imam Al-Nawawi Abu Zakaria Muhyiddin Yahya ibn Sharaf Al-Murri. Inshallah, this hadith that we're taking today, hadith we're taking tonight, is hadith 11. And among the objectives, we're going to look at the narrator of the hadith, which is Al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Then we're going to discuss the issue of Al-Hasan and our creed, to our belief and creed towards him. What is the opinion of Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah about him and Al-Husayn, his brother, as opposed to the belief of the Shia. Then we're going to look at the hadith meanings itself. We're going to break it word for word. We're going to break it down word for word. And then the commentary from the book, very quickly. I'm not going to take every paragraph because that's meant to be your homework. As student of knowledge, you have to read. Scholar said, if you don't read daily, I'm sorry. You're not a student of knowledge. You have to read daily. So a lot of the homework is going to be you reading. I'm just going to give you ta'liqat, really. Just commentary on these things, on these particular sayings and ahadith of the scholars. And then we're going to look at what does Hasan Sahih mean. The hadith is graded by Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi as Hasanun Sahih. What does that mean? And then we're going to look at the benefits of the hadith itself. So let's read the hadith. Who would like to read it for us? And I'll remind you with this app. It's called Nawawi. Arba'in, the 40. The Arba'in. It's a very good app. You can basically listen to it in Arabic. It's very good. Type in Nawawi Arba'in. You'll find it on the app store. It's brown. Brown in color. Android, I'm sure as well, but I'm not sure.
Yeah,
Is it? I'll show you a photo of it. Looks like that.
I'll post it
on the group. Excellent. Who would like to read? Yalla, someone. Inshallah. Yalla, Ya Amar. Ahsant. Inshallah.
عن أبي محمد الحسر بن علي بن أبي طالب سبط رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
نعم سبطي.
سبط رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وريحانته. رضي الله عنهما قال حفظت من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دع ما يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك رواه الترمذي والنسائي وقال الترمذي حديث حسن صحيح
ما شاء الله أحسنت عن أبي محمد الحسن ابن علي ابن أبي طالب رضي الله عنهما قال حفظت من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دع ما يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك رواه الترمذي والنسائي وقال الترمذي هذا الحديث حديث حسن صحيح. الحسن رضي الله عنه, he was the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and he was the grandchild of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. He is the one who narrated this hadith. Now, before we actually take the hadith and we break it down, let's look at Al-Hasan because he is the narrator. Al-Hasan, he is described as the son, of course, of Ali ibn Abi Talib, which is true, and of course, Ali ibn Al-Hasan, Al-Hasan's nickname was Abu Muhammad. That was his laqab or kunya?
Kunya.
We said the difference between laqab and kunya, Shabab, is?
Abu.
Good. Kunya has Abu, whilst laqab doesn't have Abu. So his kunya was Abu Muhammad. And here, this hadith, he's described as Sibti Rasulillah. What's a sibt? Yeah, commonly translated as grandchild. But what's hafid? Grandchild. Sibt is the son of your daughter, while hafid is the son of your son. So if you have a daughter and she has a son, that son is called your sibt. Well, if you have a son and your son has a son, then the son of your son is called hafid. So sibt is son of your daughter. So he was Sibtu Rasulillah. He was the son of the Prophet's daughter. Who was that? Fatima radiallahu anha. So the Prophet's daughter Fatima had a son named Al-Hasan and of course Al-Husayn. So both of them are called Sibta. Sibta Rasulillah. The two Sibts of the Prophet. So the Sibt is the son of your daughter. While a Hafid, and he shows you, while a Hafid is the son of your son. And there's a big difference. As you can see in the meaning. So it shows you the precision of Al-Lughatul Arabiyyah, the Arabic language. And it's not Hafidh. Someone heard me wrong the other day. They said, Hafiz, isn't that memorization? It's Hafid with a dal, not Hafiz with a dha. Sibti Rasulillah, the hadith goes on to mention, wa raihanatihi. He's the raihana of the Prophet. What's raihana?
Love.
Yeah, it's used to indicate love. Raihana is a type of flower with a beautiful fragrance and smell. That's what raihana is. Now, Allahu A'lam, the exact translation, but some say it's a basil. Basil. In fact, in Yemen, they place this type of, yani the raihana in their hair. Some say it's basil as well. So, Allahu A'lam, the exact translation of what it actually is. But if I'm not mistaken, it is the basil. It's a beautiful scented flower. And so he was described as the raihana of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is something that we even know in English. You know when you want to dalla the little child, you say, my petal, my flower, my rose, my daisy, whatever the case may be. So my petal, yani, literally flower. So he was described as the raihana of the Prophet ﷺ. And about Al-Hasan ibn Ali, Abu Muhammad radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, which is recorded in Al-Bukhari, hadith number 2704 of Sahih Al-Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ said about Al-Hasan, إِنَّ ابْنِ هَذَا سَيِّدٌ. This son of mine is a Sayyid, a master, a leader. Now he wasn't the direct son, this word son is not to be taken literal. But just like in English, say son, person not your son, you say that to someone. My son, maybe your uncle say it to you. So he said, this son of mine is a Sayyid. He's talking about Al-Hasan, radiallahu anhu. He said, وَلَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَن يُصْلِحَ بِهِ بَيْنَ فِئَتَيْنِ عَظِيمَتَيْنِ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And Allah is going to use him to reconcile between two great Muslim parties. And this is exactly what happened. This is a prophecy of the Prophet ﷺ. And he's saying this years before it happened. Because of course, when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, it was Abu Bakr's Khalifa, and then he died, then Umar's Khalifa, then Uthman, and then Ali. This is when this incident took place. When Ali رضي عنه استشهد, when he was martyred, the bay'ah was given to Al-Hasan. فتنازل عنها. He stepped down from his post. He stepped down from this position. Why? For the sake of unity. So he stepped down from this position, and it was given to Muawiyah for the sake of Islah Bain al-Muslimin, unity, reconciliation between the Muslims, and due to that action, much good and unity came forth. Imagine the bay'ah was given to one of the Habibs today, one of the brothers today. It's my bay'ah, it's the haq, bro, I'm never coming down from it. Istafil, right? They can go jump basically. I'm not giving this up. But look how they thought, the Salaf. That's why Allah Azza wa Jalla honored them. That's why today we're in such a mess in our ummah. The different mindsets. Allahu Akbar. So he stepped down from this position, although it was his haq. Unlike today, I'm in sahaq, bro, and I'm going to say it, I don't care what happens. Akhi, you're going to destroy communities. You're going to destroy families. You're going to destroy the brotherhood. No, it's the haq, bro. That's more important. SubhanAllah. Akhi, how about unity as well? As long as, of course, you're not compromising your deen. I'm not saying compromise your deen so you don't cause problems. No, but he is not compromising. He's not compromising. In fact, he's doing this, why? For the greater good of the ummah. SubhanAllah. So this hadith, as we said in Al-Bukhari, it's a prophecy about Al-Hasan. Now, about our position towards Al-Hasan, according to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as opposed to the Shia, Al-Hasan was better than Al-Husayn. Al-Hasan was better than Al-Husayn. So he's better than his brother, Al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. More virtue. He was described as the Sayyid. As the Prophet ﷺ, he called him a Sayyid, a master, a leader. And if you want to make sure you can remember this in the future, then remember this hadith. Al-Hasan, we mentioned it, and better than Al-Husayn. Another way you can remember it, who's better, then you can refer to it as the Husayn has the ya' of tazghir in it. The ya' of tazghir, the ya' of shrinking. So he's smaller, yeah? In other words, he's on a higher platform, higher status. So Al-Hasan is better than Al-Husayn, and this is something that we believe at Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah. But what do the Shia do? They overpraise Al-Husayn constantly. Don't you see those flags? Ya Husayn, Ya Husayn, Ya Husayn. Why? Because the story of his death, the story of Al-Husayn's martyrdom, yes, we believe he was martyred, and he's also among the masters of the youth in Jannah. We believe this and we love him dearly. But because of his death, those stories that surround his death, تثير القلوب. They affect people's hearts. They're extremely emotional. So they mention these stories a lot. Why? To revive their Sunni hatred. Although we had nothing to do with it. Allahu Akbar. So they mention those stories a lot. And يتعلقون بالحسين كثيرا. They attach themselves a lot to Al-Husayn. Why? Because it's all about emotion. They want to basically make people cry. And so they can revive their false manhaj and methodology. And of course renew this Sunni hatred against us. If they had true love, respect and honor for Ahlul Bayt, they would put Al-Hasan on a pedestal. So it just shows you once again their ill intentions and their lies. Their lies. As Ibn Kathir mentioned, that this shows their ill intentions. Because Ali radiallahu anhu was more greater than Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn. But why don't they make such a big deal on Ashura about the death of Ali radiallahu anhu? And of course we believe, according to Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah, that Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman were greater than Ali. Yeah, we don't make a big deal out of that, but I don't believe that. Anyway, then say to them, what about the Prophet ﷺ? Why don't you make a big deal every year about the death of the Prophet ﷺ? It shows that they're liars. They're liars. And this is something that's not allowed. What they do in Ashura, what do? They basically beat themselves up. Whipping, lashing, smacking, hitting, kicking, the works. They should tell us, we'll do it for free. Right? So this is not allowed because Yaqub ﷺ and others, of course, when they would lose loved ones, Yaqub ﷺ, he lost Yusuf, sir? Yaqub lost Yusuf for years on end. What did he do? Beat himself up over it? No. Yeah, the heart is sad. That's something you can't avoid. You're a human. No problem. We're upset. We grieve, yes. We're doing a slapping ourselves, hitting ourselves. Nah, hadha huwa. Sabr ya akhi. So as you can see, once again, the difference between us and them, in basic fundamental usul, fundamental things of the deen, we differ with them. Imagine all the secondary issues. So Al-Hasan is narrating this hadith, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. He said, I memorized, hafithtu. If there's an error in your book, I don't know, the app says hafithta. No, it's hafithtu. I memorized. If you say hafithta, yani anta, you. Hafithtu min Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I memorized the following from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is it? Ya Hassan. Don't say Ya Hassan out loud, yeah? Because I think you're calling out to him. What is it? Da' ma yuribuk. إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِبُكْ. The Prophet ﷺ said, leave that which puts you in doubt. Leave it. Da' to that which does not put you in doubt. Very simple hadith, but wallahi, the ulama have written volumes on it. Few words, comprehensive meaning. The Prophet ﷺ was given جَوَامِعَ الْكَلِمْ. Comprehensive speech with concise words. Few words says a lot. Today we're the opposite. We say a lot to mean a little. And sometimes the brother keeps on talking, he doesn't shut up. Say, bro, what are you on about, man? Just stop waffling, please. Right? Sometimes we're always talking, but nothing comes out. No benefit. Opposite. So the Prophet ﷺ, exact opposite. Few words, and in fact, in Arabic, that's a sign of your balagha, eloquence, understanding, and fahm. Like a few words, but you can have a lot. A lot. So he said, leave that which puts you in doubt to that which does not put you in doubt. In other words, if you had to summarize this whole hadith in a nutshell, leave doubtful matters. That is it. That's the summary of the whole hadith. Leave doubtful matters. Let's take it word for word. Da. Da in Arabic means to leave. In Arabic you can say, Da'ani wa sha'ni akhi. Leave me. Let me be. Mind your own business, in other words. That's Da'ani wa sha'ni. My sha'n, leave me to my sha'n, my business. So da in Arabic is to leave, not da. Da is to place. Big difference in Arabic. So da, to leave. Ma yuribuk. Yurib from raib. What's raib?
Yeah.
ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه. ريب. Oops. ريب is translated as doubt. However, ريب has two meanings according to Arabic. It's shak, which is doubt. It's called shak in Arabic. You say شككت فيك. Ooh, I'm doubting you. Shak is doubt. And qalaq. What's qalaq?
Worry.
Good. Worry, mashallah. You say in Arabic, la taqlaq. Sounds funny, I know. La taqlaq means don't worry. Qalaq is worry. When you leave doubts, you have left your anxiety, you've left worry, you've put it aside. A person who's always doubting, they're worried. They're stress pots. They end up becoming those who are classified as OCD patients and victims. Obsessive compulsive disorder. And we're going to get into that in a moment. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying, leave raib, literally. Leave doubts and that which is going to worry you. That's what raib is. دَعْ مَا يُرِيبُكْ. Leave doubtful matters. إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبُكْ. To that which does not put you in doubt. In other words, you're doubting something, then leave it to that which does not put you in doubt. Now what does this mean? Leave doubtful matters in what? In salah? In wudu? Business transactions? Your marriage life? Your fellow brothers? Leave doubts in what? Everything. Ahsantum. It's called in Arabic nakira. It's not specified. And nakira in Arabic, tufid al-umum. It indicates broadness. It's general. It's wide in scope. It's called nakira in Arabic. It's unspecified. It's undefined. It's called nakira. An example of that would be Allahu Akbar. Akbar in Arabic means greater. Like atwal, taller, asghar, smaller. It's on the same rhyme scheme. Af'al. When words rhyme with af'al, it means something greater than something else. High level. Af'al. Like atwal, asghar, aqsar, akbar. You see? They all rhyme. So, taller, smaller, shorter, greater. Allah is greater. That's when you're saying Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater. Greater than what? It's not mentioned. That's called nakira. Why? Akbaru min kulli shay. Allahu Akbaru min kulli shay. That's what you're saying? Allah is greater than everything. Because if you were to not define it, if you were to define it and specify, you've restricted it. True? If you were to say, for example, Allahu Akbar min ad-dunya. Allah is greater than the dunya. A kafir might come and say, yeah, he's greater than this world, but not the hereafter. No, Jesus is going to rule there. For example, so when you specify, you've restricted it. What's the example? If you were to say, a Shaykh Abu Ishaq is the most knowledgeable, bro. The most knowledgeable Shaykh, yeah, in fiqh. As opposed to saying, a Shaykh Abu Ishaq is the most knowledgeable in MIA. Mathalan, see the big difference? If you were to say, he's the most knowledgeable in fiqh, you're saying, all the ulama and shaykh in the world, he's more knowledgeable than them. You didn't restrict it. But when you restrict it, you say, Shaykh Abu Ishaq is the most knowledgeable in fiqh and MIA. You've restricted it, MIA. So when you mention something, you've restricted it. But when you don't mention it, he's the greatest, he's the most knowledgeable, he's the best. It means the best of all, the greatest of all, knowledgeable of all. For example, for example. So here, he said, leave doubtful matters. In what, Ya Rasulullah? In salah, in marriage, in business transactions, in everything. Everything. Beautiful, comprehensive hadith. So, your raib, doubtful matters that cause you worry and qalaq, leave doubtful matters in prayer. Not sure. While I'm praying, did I just pray three or four? Not sure. Leave that which puts you in doubt to that which does not put you in doubt. You're certain you prayed three. Go with that. For example, wudu. Business transactions, family, suspicion of your brothers, contracts, list goes on and on and on. Even food. Is this halal or not? Beautiful hadith. Wallah, as we said, the ulama have written mujalladat, volumes on it. As Al-Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said in the sharh of this hadith. If you want to get extra information, I would suggest you listen to the sharh of Ibn Uthaymeen. I listen to it a lot. I add my own sugar and spice according to Sydney, Australia, to make it relevant. Yeah.
Was this similar to the other hadith previous about a shepherd pasturing his sheep?
Ahsant, very good. This hadith connects to the other hadith. Naam. Yushiku an yaqa'afi, the one who's almost about to fall into it. Why? Because he's at the borderline. So get out of the borderline, Habibi. Otherwise, you're going to fall into it. So if you're always around doubtful matters, you're going to fall into it. So leave the doubtful matters, such as food, and such as any form of doubtful areas. Yes, akhi. Yeah. Online. Yes, that's what I was referring to. That's this book. Oh, I don't know about Riyad Salihin. He has one on Riyad Salihin. MashaAllah, what didn't he do? Allahu Akbar. Ibn Uthaymeen, who we're taking. Do you mind? Sorry. This. Yeah, it's other people's property. We have to ask. So this usulun fit tafsir is by Ibn Uthaymeen as well. So he has a sharh on the 40 hadith in Arabic. Now, if you can understand the Saudi accent, you'll be alright. But if you can't find it, you'll be alright over time, inshallah. Keep listening to it. So that's what the hadith means. Let's look at some examples. I didn't write that. That was supposed to be here. Let's look at examples of this. Prayer. Doubtful matters in prayer. You're praying three. In your prayer, you're not sure whether it's three or four. You go with that which you're certain with. You just go with three. Wudu. You're not sure. Do I have wudu or don't I have wudu? Habibi, perform wudu and rid yourself of this headache. So, business transactions. You do a deal with someone. Not sure. Did what you do was as long as you... Was it halal or not? What we did. If, according to the custom of the people and according to the general principles, everything was fine, then those doubts, if you're not careful, they can lead to waswas. Marriage. You just perform marriage contract. You and your wife now, you're married. Did the sheikh say the words correctly or not? Am I really married? You're married, habibi. Al-asr fil uqood annaha ja'iza. Khalas, he did it, he did it. Don't go doubting. You did it, you're fine. You can go have your KK. It's okay. When I said that, one brother said, what's that? What's KK? Krispy Kremes. Okay, if you want to take your wife out, Krispy Kremes on KK night, go for it. I'll take her to a place that's a bit more classy. Okay, but but first night, KK, Krispy Kremes, yallah. Afterwards, you go KK, bro. When you be more comfortable. Macca's drive-thru. Brothers, first night married in the car. Where do you want to go, Macca's or KFC? Take me home, please. Family, you're not sure about your spouse. This could be more for the sisters, for example. You're not sure about your husband. He comes home. Did he just meet up with his second wife or not? No. Is he married again? Basic default, do not have suspicion of your brothers and sisters. Do not have suspicion of others. This is in the Quran. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اِجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِ. Leave off much suspicion. Much. Why? إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٍ. Because some suspicion is sinful. Allah is telling us, leave a lot to avoid a little. Avoid a lot to avoid a little. What a beautiful concept. Today, what are we doing? We're digging up a lot to find a little bit of garbage, yeah? Oh, look what I found on this person. And we put it all over Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So we're digging up a lot on these people just to find a little bit. Allah's saying, no, you leave off a lot of dhan. What would dhan, suspicion, lead you to? Just suspicious. What are you going to do? Yeah. Spy. So what's the next part of the ayah? وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا أَحْسَنْتُ. Don't spy. See how one thing leads to another? Now Allah said, اِجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا. Leave a lot of suspicion. Leave a lot of doubts. But Allah didn't say all. Sometimes suspicion is justified. So sometimes it's warranted. Because the Muslim is not naive. He's not gullible. The Muslim is wise. He's كَيْسٌ فَطِن. He's on the ball. He's switched on. So for example, the wife, she's at home and the husband comes and he's got this big red lipstick mark right here on his cheek. Right? Where'd you get that from? A friend. Which friend? Boy or girl? Now, she has suspicion that's warranted. She should ask, find out. Right? Because a brother's not going to kiss you like that. Big juicy kiss here. Right? And why was he wearing lipstick? Right? To begin with, I'd be worried. If a brother's wearing lipstick and he's kissing you like that, okay, I don't know what you want to do. I don't know what you're doing behind closed doors. Okay, Adnan's face, like, what's going on? I don't blame you. I'd be thinking the same thing. So that suspicion is warranted. Okay, but if she doesn't see that stuff, she's not allowed to spy. She's not allowed to have doubts. You're not allowed to investigate, spy, check your husband's or wife's emails and messages if there's no reason. No reason. But if something comes up that gives you good reason, that's a different story. Then go to a person of knowledge and speak to them before you do something wrong. That's also important as well. For example, as a parent, you're not allowed to spy on your kids. You're not allowed to have doubts about them. Unless they are starting to do things, say things, listen to things, watch things that you know are haram, 100%. Or you start hearing funny things coming from their bedroom. Music and or on their phones, or always on their phone and speaking in a soft tone to their mates. They go hiding and whenever you go walk in on them, they have this look of, you know, shock or surprise on their face and something's up. That's different. But if they're good kids, you know them to be salihun, those with taqwa and they're praying and they're doing the obligations, they listen to you, not allowed to spy. This is the justice of Islam. Even the parent is not allowed to spy on his kids without due reason. And the way you can get out of it, for example, as a parent, and parents to be, inshallah, is you tell your kids from the beginning, look, I'll give you a laptop, I'll give you an iPad, I'll give you a phone, but I have full access to it from the start. That way it's not spying, you've got access to it from the beginning. Food, another doubtful matter. You're not sure whether it's halal or not. By default, you find all foods and all drink are halal unless there is evidence to the contrary. Except, of course, with meat, chicken, etc. The asl, by default, it's haram. That's different. We're talking about food in general. Potatoes, vegetables, fruits, yogurt, nuts, beans, all that stuff. Food in general is halal. Allah Azza wa Jalla said to eat from the earth. Halal and tayyiba. He didn't restrict it. He kept it open. So the asl with food is it's halal. Especially if a Muslim's giving you. Unless you have reason to. If you have reason to doubt, that's a different story. But if you're doubting, what can you do? Just don't eat from it. So, if you're doubting, don't eat from it. And food is a big topic, we're not going to get into it now. But the point is, this hadith is very comprehensive. We can go on and give you so many examples. And based on this hadith, the ulama have derived a principle in fiqh. Who knows what it is? Even in English, no problem. Ahsant. لا يزال اليقين بالشك. What's yaqeen? Certainty. What's shak? Doubt. Certainty is never overridden, never overruled by doubt. Think of it on levels. Certainty is way up here. Doubt is way below here. Doubt will never reach certainty. You're certain of something, it's up here. Put it high. Doubt will never overtake it. لا يزال اليقين بالشك. This is a qa'ida in usul al-fiqh. I'm sure you've taken it with the Shaykh Abu Ishaq, yes? And this hadith won't just help you in your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal to fix your ibadah with wudu and salah, but also with people. You don't doubt people, and thus you have good manners with them. Unlike today, what happens? You find brothers, they don't even want to give salam to each other. Why? He might be a munafiq, or he might be an Asia agent. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Al-aslu fil muslim annahu al-haq. By default, the Muslim. He's a Muslim, he's on truth. Unless you have evidence to the contrary. That's different. Yes, Akhi.
Sorry.
Sure, Akhi, ask.
Off topic a bit, but it's okay. Got related to that what you just said. My brother told me that when it comes to Muslims, or for example, to someone walking the street, he said the asr with the Muslims in such a country is with the people that they're not Muslim until proven Muslim.
The Muslims?
No, he said that anyone in this country is not Muslim until proven Muslim.
Anyone?
I don't know, he said like this.
Ask him, what does he mean by this? The kafir is different. The kafir is a kafir, he's got a big cross here. You're a kafir. That's different. But the Muslims, is there anyone? No, that includes Muslims. You got to ask him what he meant by this. Ask him what he meant. So we have to not be suspicious of him. We have to ask him, what did you mean by this? Huh? This is very important. And we take the words of our brothers in context. We don't take him out of context. And that's what's happened recently. A brother, he said, Assalamu alaikum, astaghfirullah. What do you mean? I shouldn't have said that. I'll take it back. Sorry. He took back his salamu alaikum. Wallahi. Took back his salamu alaikum to another brother. Akhi, his name's Ahmed. His name's Muhammad. He's coming to your masjid. He's got a beard. He's got a thawb. He looks like a Muslim. He talks like a Muslim. He is a Muslim. Al-bayyina ala man idda'a. These are the words of Umar al-Faruq, the staunch Umar that these brothers are quoting. He said, Al-bayyina ala man idda'a. The bayyina, the evidence is upon the claimant. You have a claim against so-and-so, then you have to bring your evidence. Al-bayyina ala man idda'a. The evidence is upon the claimant. You have a claim against anyone. This guy took my money. This guy said this about me. This guy's a munafiq. This guy's an Asia agent. You have any claim? Show us your proof. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla says about dhan, it doesn't avail to a thing. And this can be of many types. This is a big topic, as we said. Amazing hadith, but so comprehensive. So let's take our brothers for who they are, our brothers, on face value. Unless we see clear kufr, clean ifaq, that's different. But we're just talking about the asl, by default. And this is something that Umar radiallahu anhu said as well. It's related. He said, if you hear 9 words out of 10 from your brother that are bad, but one of those words was good, then judge him based on that single word of goodness. In other words, don't jump to conclusions and always give your brothers and sisters the benefit of the doubt. And this hadith is about doubt. So give them the benefit of the doubt. Don't doubt them, in other words. So this, going back to this qaida of usul fiqh, لا يزال اليقين بالشك. Yaqeen is not, yazal is to go away, doesn't disappear. Yeah? Is not overridden, in other words. By, I'm going to put doubt here. So as we said, think of it as levels. Yaqeen's up there. Doubt can never reach. Yeah? Can never reach. So you're certain you performed wudu. You're certain. I'm not sure if I broke it. You're doubting. What do you have? Wudu or no wudu? Wudu. You're certain I performed it. I'm certain I performed wudu. In fact, the ground is still wet from where I performed wudu. I can see. I'm certain I had a shower right now. I can even see the water everywhere. I hope not. But I can see the water everywhere. I hope you don't shower like that. But I'm not sure, did I just use the bathroom or not? You go with that which you're certain. And this is a beautiful qaida that, wallahi, removes a lot of doubts. And this is a hadith that doesn't just benefit you in your deen, even in your dunya. لا يزال يقين بالشك دع ما يريبك لما لا يريبك. Even in dunya, yes. There's a brother who called me up recently, wanted to meet up. He's suffering from OCD. What's that? Obsessive, compulsive disorder. Constant thoughts. And the ulama said, when these doubts reach a lot, they become abundant, فأصبح وسواسا. They become waswas. Therefore, what do? You ignore. لا تلتفت إليها. Waswas is something that you ignore completely. So once this doubt becomes a lot, then it's in reality, it's waswas. So doubts cannot be waswas. Could be a little bit. You're not sure, even in particular situations. You had a doubt today about your wudu. That's not waswas. But every time you have it, every time you form wudu, and if all acts of worship, now that's waswas. So when doubts become a lot, they result in waswas. And what's our ruling on waswas? لا تلتفت إليها, as Ibn Uthaymeen and the ulama said, ignore them completely. They have no effect on your deen. So as we said, this hadith will benefit you in your deen, but also your dunya, because now he can't do anything except he's worried. It all started when he had an injection at the hospital. Alhamdulillah, it wasn't a vaccination. That stuff is toxic. Some parents, they give their kids vaccinations. Now look, if you want to give your kids vaccinations, I'm not going to force you not to, but I advise you not to. That stuff is deadly, it's toxic. They got mercury in it. Mercury is the stuff they put in thermometers. How much mercury should you have in your whole life? Zero. You should never have anything. Any of it. It's deadly. They put that in your kids, among many other stuff. So,
how about with the new law that you have to vaccinate your kids if they go on school? Is that with private schools?
Yeah, that's why I don't take my kids to school.
But yeah, is that with private schools? Or
I don't know. But it just shows you once again, akhi, the oppression of the government. Yeah, see, so this is what happens, akhi. They're trying to make you live by their ways. I don't want to vaccinate, and that's why I homeschool. So subhanAllah, all of these issues result from, unfortunately, and even living in the country. Now, how do you know if you have waswas or not? That's the key question. Ibn Uthaymeen and others said, every time you approach a matter, you doubt it. That's how you know you have waswas. Every time you approach any matter, or a matter, whether it's salah, every time I approach salah, I'm doubting. Then you have waswas in salah. Every time I approach wudu, I'm doubting it. Then you have waswas in wudu. Every time I approach everything, I have doubts, then there's a major problem. That's waswas. And as we said, this brother, OCD, I didn't finish the story, sorry. He went and got not a vaccination, alhamdulillah, he got an injection. And because ever since then, he's thinking, I've got HIV. And so I said, akhi, go do another test. He did that. I took what you said now. He did another test, you know, so you can remove the doubt. Guess what? He's still doubting. He did 4 tests, they all came up negative. You don't have HIV, Habibi. No, he's still doubting. That could be wrong. Maybe the last injection, that's when I got it. Yeah, maybe I didn't have it, but the last injection did it. See what happens? So if he doesn't apply this hadith, okay, just do it. Anyway, you remove the doubt. Not necessarily. Not everyone's like that. And thus, this beautiful qaida from Usul al-Fiqh is based on this hadith. لا يزال اليقين بالشك. So everywhere he goes, he's worried. Where he's stepping, what he's touching. It's affected his work, his studies, his private life as well. Private life. He doesn't even have intimate relations anymore. He feels he's going to infect his wife. He feels he's going to infect his wife with HIV. SubhanAllah, that's a major problem. So you see how waswas, this is what shaitan wants. So don't feel that, you know what, I'm safe, cuz I'm alright, I don't need adhkar. And no, you need adhkar to protect you from these waswas. And alhamdulillah, I told him about these things. And there's ways to treat it, not to worry. Sociologists and those who deal with this field say it can last for approximately 3 to 6 months, but after that, yani, you can be treated and cured. I know someone personally, very close to me, who had it very bad, and alhamdulillah, now perfect. It can be treated. And there's no harm in treating it. When a person has a headache, they take medicine, yes? Well, they have a problem up here as well, but it's mental. You can treat it. Think of it like that. It's not embarrassing to treat such a condition. And so now, alhamdulillah, he started to seek knowledge, and I told him, this is one of the ways you can eliminate these waswas. Knowledge. For example, knowledge of HIV. HIV, AIDS, for example, it can't live in open air environments for long periods of time. And it's only passed on via certain channels, via certain means and methods. For example, it's not passed through saliva and things like this. So only in certain conditions it can be transferred, and you can be infected by this. So having knowledge, and that's why the ulama said, the scholar is harder on shaitan than 1,000 worshippers, 1,000 ubbad. Because the worshipper has no knowledge, he's just praying. But shaitan can come to that person, put them down, so your prayer's messed up. You missed the rukun, you missed the wajib, and he keeps on praying, thinking it's not good. But the scholar has knowledge. He done 2 rak'at, he knows, alhamdulillah, it's good. And if I did have doubts, he knew what to do. We should do the sahu. And so knowledge protects you. Knowledge is a barrier between you and doubts. So knowledge of deen and dunya, that's very important. So may we ask Allah to help this brother and anyone who has OCD. It can be a major problem, but there is ways to treat it, alhamdulillah. And as we said, this is something that you should never underestimate, because the last surah in the Quran is Surah An-Nas. And in this surah, it's about, we're asking protection from al-waswas al-khannas, the one who constantly whispers. So this is the last surah in the Quran. It's as if Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling you, this is my final wasiyah, my final advice and testament to you. Watch out for the waswas of shaitan. Watch out for these doubts. Watch out for these whispers. It's the last surah in the Quran for a reason, my dear brothers. Last, as if it's the final piece of advice. Don't neglect your adhkar. Protect yourself. Did you know that the average human has 60,000 thoughts a day? 60,000. Yes, the average human has 60,000 thoughts a day. And if you have OCD, it's probably double that number. And thoughts can really destroy you, because it's mind over matter. Sah? Mind over matter, mind over body. If the mind is controlled, then the body is controlled. That's why you find some people who know how to control their minds really well, they can, for example, walk on hot coals. They're controlling it all up here. So if shaitan gets here to your mind via the heart, because the heart and the mind are connected. Many times in the Quran, Allah talks about their corrupt hearts. And he says, أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Don't they have sense? What's the heart got to do with the brain? They're connected. How? Allahu A'lam. It's part of the unseen. But they're connected. You control the heart, you control the mind. So shaitan gets to your heart. أَلَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. Right here, the sudur, the chest. He gets to your heart and affects your mind. That'll in turn affect the whole body. So if you're not careful, your thoughts can destroy you. And that's what Ibn al-Qayyim said in al-Fawaid. He said, how do bad habits start? They all start the thoughts. Thoughts lead to desires. Desires lead to a will. No, sorry. Desires lead to an intention. Intention leads to a will. The will leads to the action itself. And actions done constantly become habits. And old habits are hard to break. So it all starts with the thought. Thought leads to, as we said, desire. Start to think about something, start desiring it, you want it. Then you lead to a will, an intention. I'm going to do it. Then a will. Set out a plan. I'm going to do this and that. Yalla, let's do it. And then that'll lead to the action itself. A lot of people ask, man, I've got bad habits. What do I need to do? Not what I need to do, what I need to think. I need to go back. Start having good thoughts. That's why Allah Azza wa Jalla starts Surah An-Nas with what? Tawheed. The best thoughts, as Ibn al-Qayyim said, to combat waswas is the thought of Allah, thought of Tawheed. قُلْ أَعْضُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَّهِ النَّاسِ. Think about good things. When you're thinking about Allah, the deen, Islam, there's no room for bad thoughts. Sah? When you're thinking about good things, no room for bad things. One of the two. So those are some examples of this amazing hadith. So short, but wallah, the examples are plenty. Commentary. Now, this was homework, so we're just going to read the commentary from the book on the bottom of page 61. Someone like to read that? I'll summarize it for you. It talks about food, leaving doubtful matters in food, you protect yourself. As per the hadith, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنَ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنَ وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُرُ مُشْتَبِهَاتٍ Halal is clear, haram is clear, between them are doubtful matters. Leave the doubtful matters, you protect two things. What are they? Your honor and your religion. Your honor is between you and the people. Your religion is between you and Allah. So you protect your relationship with the Creator and the creation. If you're in doubtful areas, doubtful restaurants, dubious places, people are going to start talking about you. They're going to start doubting you. So now you've tarnished your honor. So if you're in a dubious place, what's going to happen? People might start doubting you. Next thing you know, you go home on social media, it's all over. You see your smiling face right there. And it's got the headline. A Muslim man seen in pub, right? For example. you gotta be careful. So the point is, protect yourself from the talk of the town by avoiding doubtful matters. Doubtful matters. Oh, that bro, that guy doesn't eat taqwa slaughtered chicken. Right? You have that a lot. Oh, this guy and this person. No. You gotta be careful. But we should also have husn adh-dhan. As we mentioned in Surah Al-Hujurat, even if you see your brother in a dubious place, don't think the worst of him and immediately take a snapshot, yalla, and I send it on Facebook and take another one just for good measure and put it on WhatsApp just so it can reach more people. No, you should think the best of him. Perhaps he walked in by mistake. No. Maybe he walked in, don't wait there, is he going to come out? No, he's not coming out, man, he's not coming out. No. He walked in, khalas, you saw him walk in, maybe he's going to walk out. Or maybe go up to him, akhi, did you know this place is haram? Maybe he doesn't know. So you should go and help him. Go and help him. But if another person sees that, saying, well, why are both of them walking in? They're meeting up. So the point is, have good suspicion of your brothers and sisters. So the commentary on the bottom of page 61, which goes on to page 62, mentions food, but it also mentions differences of opinion. Let's just say you come across a difference of opinion that they're both permissible. Go with the safest one. Or difference of opinion that is ikhtilaf tadad, opposing truths. Go with the one that is going to protect you. Go with the one that you feel on the day of judgment, Allah's not going to blame me. I'll be alright, inshallah. An issue that the Shaykh mentions is al-Fatiha, reciting it in prayers behind the imam. As you know, there's a difference of opinion if you can hear the imam recite it or not. What should you do? Some said you should recite it. Some said if you don't hear it, you should recite it. Some said if you do hear it, you should still recite it. And the point is, what do you do? Recite it just to be on the safe side. You've left the doubtful matters. Also zakat on gold for women. Zakat on gold for women. Difference of opinion that has never been resolved even till today. Safest option would to be what? Pay it or not pay it?
Pay it.
Now, let's just say you pay your zakat on gold and zakat was due. Then you've lifted yourself from blame. You've lifted the obligation. You're safe. And if it wasn't due, it's rewarding for you because it's sadaqah. You've paid extra. So he goes on to mention, even in fiqh, even in your deen, two matters, you're not sure, go with the safest one. So that's the commentary. And as we said, this is more for your homework. You should have read it. And then the hadith ends by Al-Imam An-Nawawi ends his hadith by mentioning who narrated it. Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi and Al-Imam An-Nasai. And he said, Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi graded this hadith as Hasan Sahih. Now that's confusing because these are two different terms. Hasan is not Sahih and Sahih is not Hasan. For a hadith to be considered Sahih, it must have
five.
Good. Five conditions. What are they? It's good revision. Continuous connected chain. Very good. Number two? Narrators who are trustworthy, they have adala, integrity. Three, they are accurate as well. Four, that was part of connected chain. The hadith now must be free from hidden defects. Very good. And irregularities or contradictions. Good. Although it was the other way around, but that doesn't matter. Those are the five conditions. So that's what sahih here. What's hasan? Everything the same except accuracy. So there's no accuracy at all.
No, there
is. Good, but
less
accuracy. That's important. If you say there's no accuracy, it can make the hadith now daif. That's no accuracy. The guy just stuffed up.
not accurate at all. He just doesn't know the hadith. He's not accurate. He's trustworthy. We believe him. I believe you, brother, but you're not accurate. Right? So there's a big difference. So less accuracy. خفيف الضبط. So there's a big difference. Big difference. But they're both accepted. Ahsan. They both fall under al-hadith al-maqbool. So Hasan Sahih, Sahih, or Hasan on its own, it's accepted. But just so you know, as students of knowledge, what's the difference? Very easy, very easy. Al-Imam al-Suyuti and Ibn Hajar, they said the difference between, that they said that Hasan Sahih is, you want to add? Have the answer? Yes. Alright, I'll say it now. Sorry, I thought you had an answer. Al-Imam al-Suyuti and Ibn Hajar said yes. Do you have the answer? Oh, okay, just scratching your head. Okay, that's going to cost you. Al-Imam al-Suyuti and Ibn Hajar said, Hasan Sahih, some ulama graded the hadith as Hasan, others graded it as Sahih. That is it. Very easy. Some ulama graded it as Hasan, some ulama graded it as Sahih. Like anti-climax, waiting. What's the answer? What's the answer? That is it. Now, of course, there's more detail to it, but I just summarized it for you. It depends, does it come from numerous ways or few ways? Does it come from one path, one chain? Or does it come from many chains? If it comes from many chains, some ulama said, yeah, then some of those chains are Hasan, some of them are Sahih. If it comes from one chain, then that chain, the scholars differed. Some said it's Hasan or Sahih. The point is, it's the same thing. In reality, hadith which is graded as Hasan Sahih means some ulama graded it as Sahih, some ulama graded it as Hasan, while others graded it as Sahih. That is it. Some ulama graded it as Hasan, while others graded it as Sahih. So Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi wasn't sure. He was reluctant to choose one. And that shows you his adl. That shows you his justice and his accuracy. He's not going to say, you know what, some ulama graded it as Sahih. Yallah, you know, sweep it under the carpet. It's Sahih, bro. Make me look better because, you know, it's in al-Tirmidhi's book, my book. No, it shows you his taqwa. Some ulama said, Hasan, I'm going to say it. Even if it's one scholar. So he wasn't sure. He was reluctant. Therefore, he said, Hasanun Sahih. What is it? He what? Which, exactly. Allahu Akbar. The irony of it. So in reality, he applied this hadith. He left that which was doubtful. Allahu Akbar. I saw that's a very good point, Akhi Adnan. I didn't think of it. I have to use it and then say, oh, I said it. Astaghfirullah. That's what people do today, yeah? Sheikh Abu Adnan was, he said, I just read this quote by Ibn Taymiyyah. Next thing I see, another brother's Facebook, he said it. Ibn Taymiyyah just said it. The brother just took Ibn Taymiyyah's words and he just puts it. His line, yeah? His line. I said it, bro. Benefits of this hadith. So finally, among the benefits of this hadith, there are many, but we'll just mention three. Number one, it shows you the comprehensive yet concise speech of the Prophet ﷺ. This was called Jawami' al-Kalim. From Jama'ah, to gather. So Allah Azza wa Jal gathered for the Prophet ﷺ, a lot of meaning in his concise speech. That's Jawami' al-Kalim. So it shows you, this hadith shows you the comprehensive yet concise speech of the Prophet ﷺ. He'll say a little bit, but he'll mean a lot. Yes?
Is that
Islam
the name of the
hadith? La yazalu.
Okay, so that means
la yazalu. That's a principle of fiqh. Yeah, it's based on this hadith. Another benefit of this hadith, it shows you that the Qur'an and the Sunnah, and here it's the Sunnah of course, benefits you in deen and dunya. The Sunnah guides you in deen and dunya. Alhamdulillah. This is how our deen is. Our deen is for the deen and dunya. For example, the salah. When you're praying, it's no doubt for your deen, but it helps you in your dunya as well. You can use the salah for your dunya. For example, when someone dies, Salatul Janazah. When you want rain, Salatul Istisqa. Eclipse, Salatul Kusuf. As you can see, and Khusuf, depending is it solar or lunar. These are issues of deen or dunya. Yeah, the salah is deen, but the issues of the dunya. Water, you need rain, sun, moon, person dies. Also, another type of salah. Guidance, you want to make a decision whether to buy a house or to marry a spouse. Salatul Istikhara. And also in any problem, musta'inu bis sabri wa salah. Any problem, whether deen or dunya, seek Allah's help via patient in salah. So the deen, Allahu Akbar, gives you answers, guides you in the deen and dunya. And finally, among the benefits of this hadith, it shows you that Allah wants ease for you. This religion is a religion of ease. What's the ayah? Ahsant. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ الْيُسْرِ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمْ الْعُسْرِ. Allah wants ease, not hardship for you. This is a deen of ease, and I'll end with this. It's a deen of positivity. Once one of the Sahaba had waswas. He complained to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He complained. So if you're having waswas, you're having doubts, don't feel that you're bad. Don't feel I'm a bad Muslim. The Sahaba had it. Allahu Akbar. So when this companion came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I get some very bad thoughts. So severe, I would rather be thrown off a cliff than say them. Allahu Akbar. What did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam say? Man, you need help. No. He said, Alhamdulillah. He praised Allah. Alhamdulillah, الذي رد كيده إلى الوسوسة. All praise and thanks belong to the one who foiled the plot of shaitan to a mere whisper. That's all he can do. Whisper, whisper. Waswas, waswas, waswas. Is that what it's called, waswas? Whisper. And subhanAllah, that word waswas came from waswasat al-huli. You know that earrings that make that sound when a girl's walking? Yeah, and you turn because you want to look? No. You don't want to look, yeah? I'm sure. But that sound, that's called waswasatul huli. The jewelry made that sound. And subhanAllah, where is that jewelry placed? Right here on the ear. And that sound is subtle. That's where the word waswasa came from. SubhanAllah. That's just a side point about just the beauty of the Arabic in the Quran. But the point is, the Prophet ﷺ, what did he say? He said, Alhamdulillah. So this is something that you shouldn't feel bad about. Because shaitan, all he can do is whisper. Can't even force you. Another narration, he said, ذَلِكَ صَرِيحُ الْإِيمَانِ. What you're going through, waswas, this is an indication. ذَلِكَ, that is no doubt, manifest clear iman. That's a sign of your iman. Why? Because shaitan is trying to get to you. He's trying to get to your iman because he knows it's valuable. Just like a thief. A thief, what's a thief going to do? Robbing a desolate, abandoned house. True? Nothing there. Where does a thief go? Valuable house. Sah? Well, shaitan, the ultimate thief, he wants to take your heart, wants to take your iman. He's going to come to you. So that's actually a sign of your iman. You have waswas, it's a sign of your iman. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَلْتَفِتْ إِلَيْهَا. Don't worry about it, neglect it, leave that which puts you in doubt to that which has not put you in doubt. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to protect us from all doubts up until our final breath. Ameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayka.